All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Person to talk to, someone who cares to love. Could it be you? Could it be you? Situation gets rough, then I start to panic. It's not enough. It's just the habit, a kid, you're sick. Well, darling, this is it. You can all just kiss off into the air. Behind my back, I can see them stare. They'll hurt me bad, but I won't mind. They'll hurt me bad, they do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's get this over with. I got other stuff to do.
Oh, look at you taking the lead.
I got it. Because if I sit here another minute and wait for you to start this program, I'm going to kill myself.
Fine, fine, fine.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 200, I was about to say 500 and something, which would be a mistake.
A big mistake. That's okay, because earlier in the week, to take a quick aside, I posted, when I posted the new episode, 128. I posted
ooh,
online.
Ooh, whoops.
And some people were like, what? 128?
No.
No.
Time travel.
229.
229. We're calling this one Pause.
That's right.
Because, as we've been announcing the last couple of weeks, our new show content,
right?
Episodes, if you will, new episodes will be on pause for several weeks while OG sorts out this kid business,
and
while we move into our brand new studio A.1,
right?
So yes, and both events are very exciting. Of course, one of them is very exciting to you listeners, and one of them is exciting to OG. So
right.
So that's how we sort that out. OG, let's get through it.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
All right. We'll jump right into the news. And, you know, what wouldn't be a week of modern Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, without Bill and Ted updates?
Better.
This is like that's the fifth time this has come up
it
in the news.
It would be a better show.
It's a little upsetting. But Alex Winter has revealed that the script is complete. And it is in his possession.
Uh-huh.
And that they are going to be going into production.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't say what.
And who's Rupert? Exactly.
No. No
fail.
Rufus. Rufus.
Rufus, I mean, yeah.
We still don't have fail. A Rufus. I agree. I just wanted to say Alex Winter says the script is done.
F-A-I-L. Yeah. Fail.
All right. Moving on. Scripts. Uh-huh. Group Hug.
Group Hug, yes. The working title for the Avengers script.
Right. which is kind of a funny working title. I like it. I'm down with it. Samuel L. Jackson's script has apparently been stolen.
Right.
Or I guess depending on how you read that article, either he left it somewhere and someone took it and is now trying to sell it and no one is biting, by the by. Or it was stolen outright and no one is biting. And by what I mean no one is biting is whoever has this apparently is trying to sell it to a bunch of different blogs and sites and nobody wants anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Because I think pretty much it comes down to two things. They're going to get caught. They're going to get blacklisted.
Yeah.
And it's probably a lot of money is what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Is that what the person is asking for?
Yep. That's probably all true.
And the little bit, apparently they sent out some teaser images of script pages that they have. It's really nothing major.
Yeah.
It's a scene that involves
much like
Hulk, Cap, and Thor.
Right. Much like the movie.
Yeah.
No, it's Hulk, Cap, and Iron Man.
And I'm sorry. Yeah. Right. And Iron Man.
And much like the movie, you know, that's I get the whole meh feeling about it. Even at this point,
well,
even at this stage.
I think it's hard to say what the movie's going to be like at this point, but that script page doesn't really tell us much of anything.
I don't know.
You're not even a little bit.
I'm also feeling like it's another publicity stunt.
Yeah, it could be.
You know.
It could be. We'll see.
All right, which one of you guys wants to be blamed for losing the script? Yo, I'll do it.
R. Granito is trying to sell the script.
Yeah. He's claiming he wrote it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Ian Holm.
Yes.
Confirmed.
Formerly Bilbo Baggins.
Confirmed to return as Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah.
To bookend the second movie.
Right.
In the Hobbit.
Part two.
Duo of movies.
Yeah. So he's going to, which is interesting in that it was, what, 10 years since he played him?
Yes.
Roughly. I mean, it's got to be around that much, if
has
not that
it, no,
much.
No. Has it been that long?
Think so, sir.
Wow.
I don't know. But the point is that he was very sick and clearly older, which is why he wasn't going to be Bilbo in these films anyway.
Right.
So it's a little interesting that they've decided to do that.
But I understand it.
Yeah, I understand it. If you're going to get Frodo in there, you're going to wedge him in there for a couple of bookends. You might as well try to do as much as you can. How many millions will he be getting for his moments on film?
You know, I God only knows. But speaking of millions, I read something, I think it was today or yesterday, that apparently what we had reported earlier is incorrect. That Orlando Bloom not actually signed yet.
Oh, really?
So I think that's probably just a technicality at this point.
Oh, well.
But whatever.
If he was donating that money to charity, he would make huge news.
He would make huge news.
But no.
American Reunion.
Uh-huh.
All right, now I bring this up for one reason.
Just tell me she's in the cast.
The most recent article that I've read has her listed as confirmed for the film.
Okay.
So, of course, we're talking about
Allison Hannigan.
Allison Hannigan. So,
right.
So, we hear, we reported that Tara Reid, Mina Suvari, Thomas E. Nichols, Jennifer Coolidge already returning.
Right.
And then we heard, I hear now that... Sean William Scott, Eugene Levy, Allison Hannigan, and Chris Klein have also now agreed to return.
Wonderful.
So there you go. So it's worth watching.
I'm very excited.
Is it worth watching now? Is that?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, I was kind of okay with it just having Jason Biggs and Sean William Scott.
Right.
But having Chris Klein, Allison Hannigan. I mean, that it kind of rounds it out nicely.
If it is a reunion, that's what it should be. It should be a reunion. So,
absolutely. Shockwave.
Yeah, I saw it.
What'd you think?
Just looks like a movie Transformer version of Shockwave. So
pretty much.
By definition, that means he's kind of shitty looking, but like Shockwave.
But I was impressed that, at least in robot form, right? They kind of maintained at least the concept of the character. Like, I think there are certain characters that have been lost in translation.
Yeah.
Okay. But
like
at least
most of them.
Yeah. Like, at least the image that we see, it's got Shockwave's head and the one eye thing. I mean, at least that is something. But I mean, am I excited about it?
Meh.
No.
Meh.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
So Judgment Day has come and gone.
Yes.
Right. According to lore, wasn't that like a week ago or 2 weeks ago or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. It might have been. But yes, so he's signed on now for a new Terminator flick.
Right. A new Terminator flick who is going to be helmed by the guy behind the Furious Five.
Well, I hear that that's all still like up in the air.
Oh, is that still up
that's
in the air?
That's what I keep hearing. The Furious Five.
Or not Furious Five.
Fast and Furious Five.
Whatever that. What's it actually called? It's not Fast and Furious Five.
Yeah, it is.
No, I thought it had a
different title?
Yeah. Oh, Fast Five. That's what it is. Fast Five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, which, by the way, I didn't know there were five of those movies.
Yep.
So.
Well, you're forgetting ones like Tokyo Drift.
No, actually, Tokyo Drift, I remember. I forgot Fast and Furious.
I forgot all of them because why would you watch them?
Right. Well, there is that. But apparently, the rumor is it's going to be directed by Justin Lin, the gentleman behind Fast Five.
And not the guy who did the last one? Who was the guy who did four?
Terminator 4?
Yeah.
It was, what is that? He's got a stupid gimmicky name.
Was he Mick G?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Mick G? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, whoever it was.
Gimmick name guy.
And does that mean we're going to see more Christian Bale?
I thought Bale was signed on for three pictures.
Right.
But I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, he clearly is not going to be working on Batman.
Now we're going to play the waiting game.
Right. I mean, look, and just is this really, I don't know. I think this is still a bunch of
Really? Why?
I don't know that I want to see him return as Terminator.
Sure you do.
For nostalgia's sake, is that what it is? I just hope that it's not this big buildup for 30 seconds of film time. Like, if you're going to put him in,
that was four.
Put him in it.
That was four. They CGI'd him into four. And that's, that was the buildup for that one.
Right. And this isn't CGI'ing him in. This
is
actually
him
in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be a Terminator again. So,
right.
We'll see. Has he been doing that for like 40 years now?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Roughly 30 years.
That's what he does, apparently.
84 to what? 2004 to be 20 years, 27 years, almost 30 years ago he made that. Can you imagine? I'm trying to think of a movie 30 years ago if they made a sequel now, if anybody would be alive to do it.
I don't think I want to think about that.
Yeah, you don't.
No. All right.
The answer was Tron, by the way.
I know. I kind of just let it go.
That worked.
Where do you want to go? You want to go Green Lantern? You want to go Zorro?
Sure.
Sure. All right. Green Lantern adding an additional $9 million to the visual effects budget.
Uh-oh. Well, they kind of need the punch, I got to say. I mean, I saw another TV spot, that looked real good and all that.
That looked good. I'm going to say.
You know, if the $9 million is used to clean up those CGI characters to make them look a little better, because right now they all look like plastic.
Right now they kind of look like TV CGI and not movie CGI.
Yeah, exactly.
And since you brought up the new trailer, I think that it's important to say or to point out that they have really gotten away from that first image that they spelled out there. These new trailers are all a bit more serious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They've gotten completely away from the, let's see if the quirky angle works.
Exactly.
It didn't.
Yeah, they clearly want to go in a completely different direction, and that's what they're doing.
All right. Zorro Reborn.
Oh, gravy.
20th Century Fox is currently developing a reboot of Zorro called Zorro Reborn.
Uh-huh.
That will be set in an apocalyptic wasteland and won't feature many of the traditional characteristics of Zorro. Now, they don't say an apocalyptic future. Uh-huh. They say an apocalyptic wasteland, which I think is an interesting kind of play on words.
Yeah, but it just implies apocalyptic future.
The gentleman who they're saying is going to direct this is a guy with a lot of consonants in his first name.
Oh, yeah.
Rapine, R-P-I-N. Suwanathah, he's been responsible for some visualization work on X-Men, the first one, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Chronicles of Narnia, and some other things. The writing duo are currently working on a Dracula reboot. Okay. So, yeah. I don't know.
We'll see.
And what I'm hearing, what they're saying is it's in the early stages of development, but it's supposed to have a story that has shades of the Sergio Leone Westerns, right, which is good.
Yeah.
And then No Country for Old Men, which is good.
Right.
So then I started thinking, well, now who are they going to cast as Zorro? So then I said, I could actually see Javier Bardem as Zorro.
Maybe.
No one has said that. That's me.
I think,
you know,
they go
projecting.
Right, they should go right back after Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, I'm thinking they're going to try to stay away from that, though.
Yeah.
Because I think they want to do something a little bit fresh. And if they're going to do a fresh scenario with it,
uh-huh,
then you don't really want to have any tie to that original. Or not, I shouldn't say original, but that version of it.
I guess we'll wait and see.
And I liked Mask of Zorro. I didn't see Legend of Zorro.
It was good.
But I liked Mask of Zorro.
They were both good.
The first one was good. Voltron. Might as well update on that.
Yep.
Did you watch that video?
I saw that little video you sent me. A lot of voice name people, but not big name people.
All right. This is my opinion.
And I like the animation to an extent.
I really like the animation.
Uh-huh.
However, the dialogue and is just...
It's what? It's right out of the 80s cartoon?
Now, is it even out of the
80s?
Yeah, it feels like it's worse than that.
No, the 80s cartoon was exactly like that. Plus, you can't judge that not in context.
Right. And I understand also that it's a children's demo.
Yes.
So I'm just a little weary, but I did like the animation. I did like how it looked. So,
and also, it's a sequel.
It's a follow-up to original.
It takes place, 5 to 7 years after the original Lion series.
Yeah, we're talking about all those same characters coming back for this series, so that's nice, too.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see.
And then last but not least, Game of Thrones.
Yep, I know you want to get into this because I know you have problems, but I have this to say,
well,
OG.
You go.
You don't mess with little kids who have dire wolves as pets.
Word. I will agree. And also, you don't mess with Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
He smacked the shit out of that kid.
Yeah, the prince.
Yeah.
He was just like up in his face. You're going to do what I say. What's he going to do? Hit him back? He ain't going to hit him back.
Just beat his ass.
That family is screwed up.
I'm really liking the show.
Yeah, me too.
I kind of just feel, though, that there is a lot of, I don't know, it just feels like a lot of slow exposition peppered with a lot of sex.
It's not a lot of sex.
Kind of a lot of sex.
And, you know, it's
sexual.
Look, and it's relevant to the story.
And I understand that. I understand. I'm not.
It's not like, you know, it's not like other programs that have featured gratuitous sex for no reason.
Oz.
Well, I wasn't even going Oz, but okay. Yeah, Oz. I mean, it's, I don't know. I think it's great. I think it's a great adult fantasy series. 9 times out of 10, whenever something fantastic like this gets done, it's pointed at, you know, it's pointed at kids. So we can't do anything because it's for the kids. And I'm quite rather pleased that we're getting some fantasy that we can appreciate at our age.
I'm still enjoying it. I just think that it needs to progress a little bit. And I'm being patient. I've been told it takes 5 or 6 episodes. So, you know, again, I'm enjoying
it. Well, then be patient.
That dire, when he bites into his neck.
Yeah.
And the blood
squirted out. Yeah, I was all up. I was like, I want a dire wolf now.
Right? It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Never Spike.
And he just hopped right up on that cub. Bed. He licked that kid and just laid right down
just
next to him.
Right,
I'd be like, forget it. You know.
That other poor dire wolf.
Not even that. Then the girl.
No,
then the girl.
For no reason.
The girl's dire wolf attacks the prince. And then they kill the other dire wolf. Man, that's silly.
Game of Thrones, a dire wolf story.
Yeah, really.
Because.
I like that, though. I like the whole. This is all going to tie together somehow. And I'm very interested to see how it's going to do.
Again, I'm still very much down with it. I'm just.
On the other side of the shallow sea.
Yes.
You know, the Klingon.
Yeah.
And the blonde.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's a cutie.
She sure is.
She's a cutie.
Yeah, I can't remember her name.
I don't know.
It's like Samantha or something. And yeah. We should probably endeavor to have the actual name.
Right. Emilia Clarke.
There it is.
Who has been in nothing that you would know her from.
Oh, really?
Triassic Attack, the TV movie.
Mm,
and
nope.
Doctors, the TV series in one episode.
So. Wow. So she's a fresh young face on the scene.
She's fresh and young, all right.
She's also brunette in real life.
Yes, she is brunette. And you know what? Excessively hot as brunette, too. I actually think I might like her as a brunette better.
I'm just digging her all around.
So there you go.
And, you know. The Klingon.
He gave it to her.
Yeah, he did.
All right.
We before we take our first break, OG, we need to announce a contest winner.
Right. We have two.
Two.
Let's go with the Sideshow one first, and since technically that's a bit older.
Okay. And the winner of our Grand Admiral Thrawn and Special Chair contest
goes to
Carl S. from Wichita.
So congratulations, Carl. Thank you for your fine entry. Drop us a line, geekstuffog@gmail.com, and we'll get that right out to you
yes.
in short order.
Congratulations. And yes, we're working on another contest for when we return with Sideshow.
Yes, we are.
So that'll be coming up as well. Very exciting. And with that, OG, we'll take our first break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 229, Pause. Everyone around you was... Attention Geek Stuff listeners, do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKev'sGeekStuff.com or the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the best geek exposure for your advertising dollar. Advertising space.
Rosario Dawson from Clerks 2, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 229, Pause.
Yes, and let's get right into it, OG.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
Out this week on DVD, South Park, the complete 14th season.
That's the Coon season.
That is the Coon season.
All those Coon and Friends episodes.
Right.
Mintberry Crunch.
Mintberry Crunch. Also, Marvel the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, volumes 1 and 2 out this week, if you're interested in that.
Nope.
Growing Pains, the complete second season.
Okay, is there anything, or are you just going to keep plugging away at stuff?
That's really, those are the big two.
Because, you know, when I have to find images for these, for the people who listen on their iPad, iPod, iTunes, and QuickTime, you know, I got to go around finding these images of these terrible DVDs that you just throw out there.
I do have one more.
What?
Sin City, out on Blu-ray this week.
Oh, yeah?
Extended edition. That's legit.
That one is legit.
And that qualifies, I would think, in both of
Absolutely.
Our criteria.
Yes,
so
definitely. Extended cut, certainly.
Yeah, man.
Very cool.
Geek Stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics to check out. I have three, OG.
I have four.
Jeez. Okay. From our friends over at Dynamite, the OG pick of the week, Kato Origins, number 8.
Yeah.
And this is from the pages of Matt Wagner's Green Hornet Year 1. I don't know if that little tag has been on there before now. But I also want to just do my usual checking. Nope, to be continued, OG. There definitely is at least another issue. So sorry to let you know that. Also from DC this week, we have Batman Incorporated.
Oop, that was one of mine.
Number 5. We should probably compare notes beforehand. Written by Grant Morrison, Yannick Paquette, and Michael Lancome also doing work. Terrific art in the series. If you're not reading this book, it really is
interesting.
It is interesting. Yes. Yes. We'll see that. And was this one of your books, OG? Action Comics number 900.
No, that was not one of mine.
And I picked up the Alex Ross cover.
Of course you did.
And the only thing significant about it, of course, is that it's Action Comics 900.
Right.
You know, so we have to make mention of the fact that a comic book has reached 900. Now, is this the longest running? I think numerically, this may be the longest running.
It beats
running.
Detective. I know that.
Yeah, but not by much. Detective's like 868.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, it's
like
by less than a year's worth of issues.
Yeah, it's about a halfway there sort of thing. And so congratulations to DC and Action Comics on reaching issue 900. And I have to say this too, OG. I found the Alex Ross cover rather not so grandiose.
Yeah, well, you know.
Action 900,
it's
I figured.
A little dark and bleak.
Well, yeah, and Superman's not really, I don't feel rendered very well. I don't know. I'm fairly disappointed by this cover, I have to say.
The other ones I wanted to throw in there, of course, American Vampire. If you're not reading this series, whether you're reading it via trade or individual issue.
Trades.
You really should be. It's an awesome, awesome series.
Shoes.
Green Arrow number 11, of course, out this week for, I got to mention that one. And then, of course, Danger Girl, Army of Darkness, number one out this week.
Ooh, the lolly.
Hey, look, Danger Girl, Army of Darkness, I'm a fan of both.
Uh-huh.
It's right up my alley.
It certainly is up your alley.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Right.
We have a couple things to talk about tonight. We're going to kick off with DC Direct's latest Batman black and white statue, which is the Joker. I, of course, am of mixed feelings.
Is this gray and white?
And that, well, we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, we have said pretty much since the onset that the idea of a statue series based on black and white interpretations of Batman by different artists was terrific. And where we feel they kind of went off the map a little bit is when they started doing villains. And they've done a few. They've done Catwoman. They've done
Penguin.
Penguin, Man-Bat. They did a Joker by Jim Lee. And now they've done a Joker as designed by Lee Berhamo.
Right.
Now, it's significant in that the Lee Berhamo Joker story... which
was a good story.
Yeah, which was fantastic. Yeah. It kind of modernized the character of the Joker and made him a little bit more like the film.
Yeah, a little Heath Ledger'd him.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, the cuts on the mouth and so on. I mean, it really did make him a bit more like the film character. They did try to find a middle ground. I thought it was successful. I thought the book was terrific. And I think Lieber Mayho's art is terrific.
Yes.
And it's sculpted by friend of this program, Gene St. John. Gene
hey.
St. Jean. So Gene St. John.
St. John.
I always forget. It says Jean Saint Jean, but I know it's probably like Jean Saint Jean or Jean Saint John or
right.
And he's a terrific absolutely terrific sculptor. And this is nothing short of brilliant sculpture wise.
So on all of those fronts, this is a win.
This is an amazing piece. Gonna run you. I think they're up to about $80 now, which is a bit of a leap from where they began, but that's okay. Putting them all together, however, makes a fantastic, fantastic display. And, of course, this is now the second piece, which OG and I have examined, where there are no really true blacks represented in this black and white piece. Now, on the box art, which I'm assuming is the prototype for the piece within, he's clearly wearing a black coat.
Correct.
I mean, clearly a black coat. Yet the item within,
not so much.
Not so much black. The gun is black. The shoes are nearly black. But the coat is not really so black. So, again, I have to ask, what's happening to the production of these pieces at DC Direct where we're getting these more grayscale pieces and less black and white?
You know, I've heard some other complaints.
Oh?
About the last three black and white pieces.
Oh?
And that many of them are not fitting on their bases.
I didn't hear that, but
the
I did
hear...
The pegs
are misaligned on a couple of them.
I heard on this one they had problems with breakage.
Because
of
the jacket?
Foot, on the, no, the left foot that's further back.
Oh, because it's...
it's kind of bent a little so, and weight-bearing, that they've had some breakage problems there. There's a lot happening at DC Direct, and most of it is not good.
Cake-topper statues,
not
good.
Yeah. Cake-topper statues?
Yeah, like the QMX Little Damn Heroes that,
look
like plastic cake-toppers.
Yeah, yeah. this kind of shift in quality... is really, really bad, and I'm starting to worry a lot about DC Direct's future. We know there was a big shift in the management over there, and I have to say, publicly, I think they've made a huge mistake in kind of downgrading the sort of quality they had and the sort of management changes they made that allowed this sort of stuff to go on.
Absolutely.
So I'm very upset. If you know anyone over at DC or DC Direct, tell them this is what's being said out there, because this is what's being said out there.
Right.
Anyway, it's the Lee Berhamo Joker Batman black and white statue, sculpted by Jean St. Jean. I'm switching it up.
Nice.
So check that out. I think it's DCComics.com/DC Direct, if I'm not mistaken. And you can judge for yourself.
Now, in the product we should have had in studio segment portion of this product review, a couple of prints that were supposed to make it their way to us, but due to the inclement weather and storms, unfortunately, we don't have them. But we're going to talk about the artwork of the prints nonetheless, and then we'll talk a little bit about the prints in the future when we have them.
Okay.
James Hance.
Hance.
Are you familiar with this gentleman's artwork?
No.
He's got a lot of buzz surrounding him right now. He is, I'm going to call him a mashup artist.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of his prints and a lot of his artwork is really just what it sounds like, mashup. Like, I'm talking like Spock and a Pigs in Space character. You know what I mean?
Wonderful.
Or like Superman and Super Grover. That kind of stuff.
Okay.
But the stuff that he's kind of become most known for, at least I think, is his Star Wars Winnie the Pooh stuff.
Okay.
Which is entitled Wookie the Chew. And it features Chewbacca as a small Winnie the Pooh type character.
Uh-huh.
And Han Solo as a Christopher Robin, as a young Christopher Robin.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll have some pictures up, but the artwork is really, really awesome. I really kind of just want to point you guys over there to check it out. And unfortunately, we don't have the prints, but we'll talk about it. He's got some really good stuff going on his site right now. There's actually a charity going on at the site right now as well. He's got a daughter who's very sick. And I think all of the money from the prints is going to the charity well as you can donate. And so,
well, you should get over there and order some of those prints.
JamesHance.com. And again, we'll have more of the product to actually talk about on the show coming up. But because we are taking that little hiatus, I wanted to just.
Is that JamesHance.com?
That is James Hance. That is correct. That's spelled that way. .com. So go and check those out for sure. And that's it for product.
Yeah. And actually, before we head into talking about Toy Street, let's announce the winner.
That's right.
Of our Mr. Frosty contest.
A little thing on the Mr. Frosty contest. I would say we got maybe like 100-150 entries somewhere in that ballpark.
Oh, I think we got more than that.
I would say 50 or 60 of you didn't even say the phrase right.
Can't say the phrase that pays.
Right? So you were disqualified because that was the contest. You had to say the phrase.
Yeah.
Right? So like a good chunk of you automatically disqualified. If you called back a second time with the phrase, we allowed you to stay in. So crack it, you were allowed to stay in.
You didn't win, crack it.
No, you did not win, unfortunately.
You stayed in.
But you did stay in.
And I said, and you have OG to thank for you still being in the running for that matter, because I vehemently protested that if you cannot get the phrase that pays correct the first time, you should not be allowed to call back and get it correct.
That's right.
If you did that stuff on any radio show, you'd be hung up on. But
right.
OG is a soft spot for you people who can't speak like him. So, therefore, we allowed those people to stay entered. And the winner is Thomas B. from Albany, New York.
That's right. So, Thomas B., again, just like the other contest, selected randomly out of all the entrants. Congratulations, Tom. Congratulations.
See?
If I can speak.
See?
I'm giving me a second chance. Congratulations, Tom. If you could send in your information, again, geekstuffog@gmail.com, and you have won yourself a wonderful 3A WWRP Large Martin Mr. Frosty.
Correct.
Right? Courtesy of Tenacious Toys, of course. Go over to tenacioustoys.com. Tell Benny you love him. Order more of the Large Martin series and everything that he has over there.
Uh-huh.
Because he's good people.
And we were fortunate enough, now that we're sashaying into this topic, we went to Toy Street one day, designer toy convention
art show
thing,
flea market garage sale
thing at in Manhattan last Friday. We had a terrific time. We met lots and lots of people, all of which we were going to mention right now. Steve. Go.
Steve Tikowski, Eric from Argonaut Resins, Lou Pimentel, Benny from Tenacious Toys, Rob from Suburban Vinyl, Ron English, Selena from Jellybots.
Oh, slow down. Selena from Jellybots. Jellybots? Is that what that was called?
Yes.
Jellybots. I thought it was like Jelly Universe.
Jellybots is the characters.
Oh, is that what the characters
are? The Jelly Empire.
The Jelly Empire. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't think it's Jelly.
Yeah, no, I believe that's her Twitter handle as well.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I heard about your Galactic Empire.
Hey, that's my idea, and she's supposed to do that just for me. Just for me.
Also, we talked to Antonio De Jesus, was one of the gentlemen we spoke to.
Uh-huh. What was his thing?
He did the, we'll go back and say what some of these other people did.
Oh, but, right, we should.
I don't remember the gentleman from Half Bad Toys. Was it Greg from Half Bad Toys?
I don't remember.
D'Estasio.
We talked to a couple
names
guys.
I can't remember.
We talked to a couple
Mr.
guys
Monk.
Half Bad Toys. We did talk to Mr. Monk. And hopefully, very soon, our own production Tim will be able to get the video stuff, a presentation, if you will, about Toy Street up onto the website. That will come during our pause.
We're leaving people out. Oh, Danny and Victor from Toy Dungeon,
mm-hmm.
right? Vince from My Plastic Heart.
Yes.
Right, not Vince. Vinny?
Yeah, Vince. Vin.
I think that might be it now.
That might be it.
There was a lot of people there.
Yeah, we talked to a lot of people.
It was
there.
A good show. We had a really, really good time. We picked.
Did we mention Selena from? Jelly?
We did mention Selena. I heard all about your sandwich afterwards. You want to provide?
It wasn't
the
a
listeners?
Sandwich.
Oh, is it a salad?
No, it was a Japanese style pancake thing.
Okay,
that I've gotten at Mitsuwa 100 times.
Right.
I saw they had it on the menu, so I'm like, I really like this thing, so I'm going to get this as an appetizer. And it had seafood in it, which I was kind of like, I was a little weirded about that. But I was like, okay, whatever. And I'm eating it. And as I eat it, I put some in my mouth and chew down on it. And there was a piece of metal, like a metal cap of some kind, in the food. And I bit down on it and I broke a low molar on the bottom left side of my mouth.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it cracked, and I, of course, you know, took the metal out of my mouth, showed the manager, and I had to discuss it, and I couldn't eat anything else, which stunk because the food looked really good. And meanwhile, I have Selena from Jelly. What's the Jelly Empire? Is it JellyEmpire.com?
Yes.
I have Selena from JellyEmpire.com, who, by the way, could probably eat and drink all of us under the table. She was unbelievable. She's like a little wafy thin person, and she was eating and eating and drinking, and I was flabbergasted, impressed, and in pain. And then she slipped me. Did you hear about this part?
What?
You didn't hear about this part? She slipped me
not.
A roofie.
What? She drugged you?
She slipped me a roofie, saying, "Here, take this. It'll make you feel better." And she's like, "You won't even remember the pain."
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, I get a little scared, and I was like holding Eric from Argonaut Resins. I was like, don't let me go out of your sight or anything. You know, I was a little scared. So anyway, so I had to go to an emergency dental appointment on Saturday to confirm the fact that my tooth was fucked up. And then I had to go through Easter Sunday in pain and Monday until Tuesday, where I could go and get a root canal because the tooth is unsavable. So they root canaled my tooth. Next week I go back. They finish gutting the tooth out. Then I go to another guy who fills it back in with steel and cement. And then they put a cap on top of it. Yeah, it's fabulous.
Well, we could talk a little bit about some of the stuff we got if you want. I mean, I got that jelly bot from her.
Yeah,
I got the Franken jelly bot, which is really cool.
You're lucky I didn't get it. I got a print from her.
Nice.
That I thought was really cool.
From Steve, I got the new Sketchbot, which he debuted there, the magenta Sketchbot.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get anything from Eric, though, at Argonaut. Just saying. He's supposed to have us in the studio, though. He's going to bring us down to the studio, and we're going to do some stuff with him there.
He is a little pricey.
Actually, some of the stuff there was mostly recently priced.
I'm joking.
You also had the opportunity to hang out with. Unfortunately, I had to leave early, but Eric Scarecrow, I heard, went out to dinner with you guys, right? And you know,
and
while we're talking
loud
about him,
obnoxious Danny.
From the toy dungeon?
Wherever he's from.
Fuck. Victor is a lovely young man that works with Danny.
Uh-huh.
Danny is, well, Danny. I like Danny. I have nothing bad to say about Danny.
It was hard to judge which was worse, the pain in my tooth or the pain in my ear from sitting next to him, or the pain in my ass, which he was being. It was hard to judge. I was in so much, but until the roofie took effect.
Right.
And then I was kind of like, oh, everything's okay.
Since we mentioned Eric, you know, I was talking to Eric Scarecrow. I was talking to him, and I was like, you know, you really gotta keep us up to date with what you have coming out. And he's got some crazy stuff coming out, like both designer and mass market.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think we could really talk about the mass market stuff. It's kind of hush hush, secret. Although he's kind of let some things go online the last couple days, but we'll talk about that more.
Ooh.
But he did let slip some new stuff going on in his vinyl world. So he's got this, like, I don't know what to call it. It's a cupcake Michi is what it is.
Okay.
And it's like these cute little cupcake looking characters. And he let out a promo image, of which, of course, you're looking at that right now.
If you're listening on iTunes, iPad,
or
iPod,
it's in the image gallery, blah, blah, if you're not. Blah.
Right.
But yeah, I think Toy Street was pretty awesome and successful. Of course, thank you to Skrills for letting us come in and run amok with the camera.
Right.
But I think that's it probably for Toy Street.
And okay, OG. And with that, here's a brand new edition. As we go to break, a brand new edition of Big Kev's Game Stuff.
Ahoy, hoy! Welcome to Big Kev's Game Stuff. I'm your segment host, Coke Logic. Nintendo is preparing their new console, the Wii HD, or the Wii 2. There's no real name for it yet. Nintendo has announced that they will be officially unveiling the next home console before or during this year's E3. The Electronic Entertainment Expo will be held in Los Angeles June 7th through the 9th. Little is known about the Wii HD, but speculation suggests that it'll be at least as powerful as the current generation systems. The new system is expected to launch sometime in 2012. Here's what I'm thinking. The Nintendo Wii you know and love, but runs Unreal and Frostbite Engine games. And that new Legend of Zelda game, the Skyward Sword, wouldn't that make a great launch title for a new system? Just speculation on my behalf, but I could totally see that happening. Call of Duty is getting some DLC in the form of the Escalation Math Pack. On May 3rd for 1,200 Microsoft points, or $15, Treyarch is releasing four new multiplayer maps, Hotel, Zoo, Stockpile, and Convoy, plus a new map for the zombie mode titled Call of the Dead. While $15 is a lot of money for a map pack, at least this time around they're new. Instead of the usual two new maps, classic maps that you've played millions of times before on previous Call of Duties. Capcom recently revealed some new titles at their annual event Captivate 2011. The most notable game is Dragon's Dogma. Yep, Dragon's Dogma. Terrible title. But don't let the heinous title fool you. It's from the team that worked on the Devil May Cry and Resident Evil series, and it's looking really good. It's third-person combat in a fantasy setting. Also at the show is Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Not X Tekken or Times Tekken, but Cross Tekken, like a crossover. The game is still early, but Capcom has showed off 10 characters, 5 playable characters from each of the Street Fighter Tekken universe. And if you're wondering why it's Street Fighter Cross Tekken and not Tekken Cross Street Fighter, that's because Namco's developing that game. Tekken Cross Street Fighter will be out in 2013. I hope you like fighting games, because there's going to be a lot of them. And finally, amongst many other games Capcom showed, was Azura's Wrath. While it's still too early to comment on the gameplay, I suggest you check out the trailer just to see how kick-ass this game might be. Now in stores, the Michael Jackson Experience is out for the PlayStation Move and Microsoft Kinect. It's a dancing game where you practice and pull off Michael Jackson's moves. But don't be surprised if your young child runs screaming out of the room at the sight of Michael Jackson. That's only natural. And just because I want to say it, L.A. Noire comes out May 17th, and I'm counting the days. Signing off, this is Coke Logic for Big Kev's Game Stuff.
Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have a they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow. With
why,
your
aren't
little...
you, why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when
you,
it's updated and when the
website
have
an opinion.
Is. It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Inhislikeness.com.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
Hey, this is Jules Stay from Firefly.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 229. Pause.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast?
Bill and Ted 3, the script. Ian Holm's return to The Hobbit. Group hug. Allison Hannigan's return to the American Pie franchise. Arnold Schwarzenegger's return to the Terminator franchise.
Should have called it Return.
Yeah, really. Green Lantern gets an... Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
I love me some Green Lantern.
Gets an additional $9 million. $9 million for its visual effects budget. Also, we talked a little bit about Game of Thrones Episode 2. We talked about Voltron, Shockwave.
All sorts of things.
I think that was it.
In segment 2, we talked about some DVDs.
That's right. Sin City Special Edition, unrated, recut, and theatrical Blu-ray out this week.
I gotta get
also
that.
Out this week, South Park, the complete 14th season, and Marvel the Avengers Earth Mightiest Volumes 1 and 2.
In comics tonight, we talked about Kato Origins number 8, Batman Incorporated number 5, and Action Comics 900.
Also, Danger Girl Army of Darkness number 1, Green Arrow number 11, and American Vampire number 14.
In product tonight, we talked about DC Direct's Batman Black and White, the Joker statue designed by Lee Brahimo, sculpted by Jean Sejean.
Really?
Jean Sejean.
Is that her sign it?
Jean Sejean.
If you say so.
Check that out from DC Direct.
And of course, the artwork of James Hance. That's the Wookiee the Chew stuff. You're going to want to check that out. Really awesome stuff. Really quality stuff. So go over there.
And
of course,
we talked about Toy Street.
Yes.
And Selena from JellyUniverse.com.
Jelly Empire.
JellyEmpire.com.
You'll get it eventually.
It's the drugs.
They have clearly worn off by now.
No, I'm on different ones now.
Oh, because of the whole button
the pain,
thing?
The pain.
The button sandwich?
I had a root canal. Hurts.
Of course, also, thanks to Coke Logic for his new Big Kev's Game Stuff segment in this week's episode.
Yes.
And... I think that was it as far as the show. So, of course, you can check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our content, shows, live from Studio V's, coming soon. All of our coverage from Toy Street, lots of interviews up there. Hopefully, we'll have some of that audio for you as well soon. Of course, if you'd like to check out, or if you'd like to discuss, rather, anything we talked about on tonight's show, or maybe you have a question for our future show.
Or any show.
You know, when we come back.
Yep.
After the pause. You can leave us a voicemail over at the GVM line, 425-920-6050, and you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast. Again, congratulations to our winners.
Tom B. from Albany, New York,
and,
who won our Tenacious Toys-sponsored 3A World War Robot Mr. Frosty Prize.
And what was that? What was Wichita's name?
Carl from Wichita.
Carl from Wichita. So who? Both of you guys, do me a favor. Drop me an email, geekstuffog@gmail.com.
Carl from Wichita won the Grand Admiral Thrawn and Silly Chair.
That's
control
right.
Chair from Sideshow.
That's right.
And with that, OG, I will end this podcast by saying thank you to everybody listening to this podcast.
That's right.
We will be back in a few weeks. Do not panic. Do not fear. Keep checking out the site for updates. We might throw some new pictures up there as we're preparing Studio 8.1. There will be some new content. There will be some Little Fifi's Who stuffs and other things. So keep checking it out, and we will be back in short order. And good night, Just Mike. Wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever, ever on, over rock under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.